Now, here is CBS News congressional correspondent, Roger Mudd.
Good evening. We have been trying to track the water moccasin rumor since last spring. We began by listening to the sound of the rumor at its highest pitch, and then tracing it back to its origin, or as close to that as we could get. The story begins here, in the capital of the United States, in Washington, D.C. This is the Senate Post Office. The first whispers of the water moccasin rumor were heard in the rustle of letters to senators and representatives indicating a fear that foreign troops were invading Georgia. By early March, the rustle became a roar, and one senator, Thomas Kuchel, Republican, California, received thousands of letters.
Here's one letter from a person in Hollywood, California, who says, "How come these pagan, ruthless, brutal, godless savages, if the UN can swing their damnable World Police Force plan, so undoubtedly, those moccasin troops are to be the same. Now what are you doing about it?" And here's one from Lompoc, California, from a Mrs. John Birch, B-U-R-C-H, and she says, "Water Moccasin 3 is a true representation of communist takeover tactics using foreign troops on American soil."
My concern is this could be a preparation of an invasion from Mexico, as it is my belief that Georgia is a preparation for an invasion from Cuba. Only beatnik Castro would use foreign troops. The rumor is for this to take place this summer. Could you send any information that this will take place in our state? Sincerely, Mrs. John Birch.
In Sacramento County, 355 miles north by northwest, Bob Hange, who supervises maintenance transportation at McClelland Air Force Base, also was alarmed.
Operation Water Moccasin was a very secret operation. And when it was first started, they planned on bringing 100,000 troops, UN troops, including barefoot fighters, into the United States. They were to be landed by military transport at Atlanta, Georgia, and then flown by Globemasters to the various parts where the operation was going to be conducted.
100 miles north of Sacramento, in the foothills of the High Sierras, worried parents in the town of Paradise fired off letters to Congress complaining about Operation Water Moccasin. And at the high school, similar concern was expressed by a student who brought it up in class. His teacher, Mrs. Virginia Franklin, tells what happened there.
A boy in the class who was an avowed member of the John Birch Society volunteered to explain why he felt that the United States ought not to participate in the United Nations. And he brought forth this pamphlet called Operation Water Moccasin, and I'd never seen this before, and I didn't get a good look at it at the moment because he was reading from it and citing from it. And he came up with this fantastic tale about the fact that there were 17 nations in Georgia right now being trained, and that these nations at any time could be called upon to fight against the United States. And I remember now that I said, why? You know, I mean, what kind of a story can you possibly concoct? This went on in my mind, this particular thing. But he said, well, that the United Nations has a human rights platform, and that since there is segregation in the South, that it's possible that the United Nations could say that the United States is breaking the laws of the UN and then call upon these troops to go against the South. And this could how we would be, you know, our own territory would be invaded while they were practicing on our own land. And it was obvious that this boy believed it.
2,500 miles away in Georgia, where the maneuver was taking place, the Associated Press Bureau was peppered with queries from their bureaus in California and Louisiana, with strange reports that the water moccasin maneuver was, in fact, preparation for a United Nations takeover. And one telephone query from an excited individual in El Paso, Texas, asked an AP staff member to verify a story he heard there that 15,000 half-naked African natives were dashing across the Georgia countryside, outraging the people as they went. And in Claxton, Georgia, the central area for the maneuver, the weekly newspaper, the Claxton Enterprise, was swamped with queries, all from out of state. Editor Fred Eden.
I began getting phone calls and letters from all over the country, from New Orleans and Washington and California and Milwaukee, places all over the nation, that wanting to know what in the world was going on down here. Was this a UN operation? Were we being overrun by Congolese troops? Were we in the midst of a subversive takeover of the local government? And I couldn't figure that thing out.
All the senators and congressmen from Georgia were also swamped with queries from out of state, they couldn't figure the thing out either. This is Congressman Elliot Hagan.
Well, I certainly was concerned when reports came to me about rumors about 20,000 Congolese troops, 30,000 Mongolian troops swarming all over my district. I started making inquiries naturally about it, yes. I was concerned, particularly when other members of Congress, as well as senators, started asking, Hagan, what's going on down in your district? We've got letters here. We've got calls. Certainly, I was concerned about the matter, and naturally, I checked, as we always do, with the Pentagon to ask them what's going on down in my district. Well, they said, well, Congressman, you've heard the rumors, too, have you?
The rumors they were hearing, we might interject, had been inflated from the bare figures of the Army's press releases. 2,500 to 3,000 American soldiers to take part. 400 of them, U.S. Army graduate officers from the Special Warfare School at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. 124 of them, foreign graduate officers, also from the school, and representing 16 allied countries, many of them exposed to the threat of guerrilla warfare. Vietnam, Thailand, Korea, Turkey, Indonesia, and Iran. The African contingent came from Liberia. It totaled 4 men. And the Green Beret, repugnant to some because of its use by UN troops in Katanga, is actually the distinctive headgear of the U.S. Army's Special Forces, described by President Kennedy as a badge of courage in the fight for freedom. Special warfare training was instituted as a counteraction to the brushfire, limited guerrilla war the communists have so effectively used in Laos, Vietnam, and other places.
You'll notice the haystack also to my right rear in relation to the rest of the village. This also can hide a man to cover both entrances of the village with small arms fire. Direct your attention to the pig pen and cattle pen here. This has a twofold purpose also. In the left front corner is a place dug out to cache equipment and also could hide a man to fire from.
Water Moccasin specializes in behind-the-lines paratroop drops, demolition procedures, jungle survival, and particularly the use of local communities to assist in anti-guerrilla warfare. These guerrillas are enlisted men in civilian clothes. This was a recent briefing at Fort Bragg as Major Richard Atkinson explains a water moccasin maneuver to a new class.
The most spectacular of these areas, and of course the one that occupies the front pages of our newspapers today, is the Republic of Vietnam. The activities of special forces in Vietnam in assisting the Vietnamese government in combating the forces of communism as represented by the Viet Cong is tremendous in scope and exemplifies the type of activity that you, as graduating students of the Special Forces Officers Course, can expect to be engaged in. Officers who sat in the same seats that you are sitting in now a few months ago are currently engaged in assisting the Republic of Vietnam in combating the very forces of world communism. Wherever you go, you will find that you are right on the very advanced guard or the frontier between our own system of democracy and the system to which we are opposed, that is communism. The doctrines, the techniques, and the principles of special forces operations will be carried back to these armies by our allied brother officers, and they will be teaching their men on their home ground our principles and our techniques. And we find that we then develop a worldwide application of those doctrines and techniques as taught here at the Special Warfare School.
Because of their very nature, water moccasin maneuvers involve local populations. The citizenry, through its mayors, newspapers, and radio stations, was asked to cooperate so that the troops could rehearse their counterinsurgency techniques. In Georgia, virtually everyone cooperated. As the congressman from this district put it,
there were just some fine American boys, approximately 2,000 or more, in this exercise, along with 122, I believe, foreign soldiers from our who are participating in this program, from our own friendly nations, one from England, I met these boys, one from France, I remember, and from other countries friendly to us, taking part in this training program, teaching these boys how to get behind the lines and fight communism in this world. That's what was down there.
And as the Claxton editor put it,
we were asked to allow these men to operate freely within our business, and certainly we were glad for that to to happen. They did. They took a very active part in our business. They became employees here.
Among military experts throughout the non-communist world, water moccasin was universally praised. How then did water moccasin become twisted into the wild rumor that caused so many to believe it was a pro-communist action? How did something which had no United Nations identification or involvement become suspect as a UN plot? Bob Hange of Sacramento was convinced as to the authenticity of the plot and his sources.
The part that bothered me was that Hal Hunt of the Shasta County Chronicle had printed a map showing the areas where the United Nations troops were going to be the police force. I have no idea where Mr. Hunt got the original map. I don't know Mr. Hunt personally. I have friends that know him, and they say he's a very, very fine gentleman. He's been in this work for many years, and I understand he's around 71 or 72 years old.
The trail to Hal Hunt led 200 miles due north to the High Sierras and the remote town of Burney, population 1,250. There on Main Street, well, almost on Main Street, the Shasta County Chronicle is published once a week and mailed all over the country. The Chronicle's issue on water moccasin was a sellout at 10 cents a copy, and Editor Hunt, who describes himself as a crusader, said the tremendous demand for extra copies of the map that went with it was keeping his job press busy.
This is the map of the world government plan showing where alien troops will be policing the United States. That came from different people that were interested in passing the information along. This map would show that the West Coast would be policed by Irish, part of California, and Arizona would be policed by Mongolian troops. The Russians would take from the Rocky Mountains east across about the Mason and Dixon line. Above that, the New England states would probably be policed by the Colombian and Venezuelan troops. I printed something on the other side of the map, and this is part of what I printed. We have twice upset their plans for a takeover by the United Nations. This will mean we have no army, no aviation, and no navy. All will be under Red Russian Zionist Jew generals. There are 1,000 in Russia just marking time until they are given command of troops which are our allies, the Western nations. In the meantime, lay in the supply of guns and ammunition.
Mr. Hunt declined to say where he got his information for the Water Moccasin edition, but page one of the paper attributed the material to a bulletin prepared by the Cinema Educational Guild in Hollywood, headed by Myron Fagan. We found Myron Fagan in Los Angeles.
Mr. Fagan, how did you first learn about Operation Water Moccasin?
Theodore Jackman came to Hollywood, came to my office, and told me the story as far as he had uncovered it. I then began our own research. We had cooperation from various members of Congress who researched with the Pentagon, with the White House, with the State Department, and with the UN. And their excuse to bring in all of these troops from other countries was the Vietnam situation requiring training, special training for troops of the various nations so that they could meet the guerrilla warfare that we are now having in Vietnam. Now, we began to investigate further, and we found that the same maneuver had been set up for South Carolina and North Carolina, but to be increased to 100,000 men. We found that the same deal was set up for the state of Washington, state of Oregon, state of California, and state of Maine, where the men would be brought over from Canada. And all of them were to consist of contingents from foreign nations, many of the African nations and even Chinese. Now, these are matters that we discovered through people in the Pentagon. I won't reveal the names of the people in the Pentagon or the State Department that revealed it. We don't reveal our source of information, but we have documentary evidence to prove it. The whole thing was set up to be ready for a United Nations martial law takeover of the United States as soon as this racial upheaval created enough riots and bloodshed all over the nation to require martial law. And they wanted those men in the various areas to be not Americans. They wanted them to be foreigners who would have no sympathy with the American people, who would be very ready and very willing to control the American people as the United Nations troops controlled Katanga. Now, that's the story of Walter Moccasin.
Myron Fagan admits he did not uncover the Walter Moccasin story, but Senator Kuchel, who did more than anyone else in Congress to expose the rumor, says Fagan was one of its most potent carriers.
I would say that several hundreds of the letters which I received from people in California all based their protests with respect to Operation Water Moccasin on the writings of one Myron Fagan. Who is Myron Fagan? Well, he's an author and writer. He is national director of something called the Cinema Educational Guild Incorporated of Hollywood, California. The California State Senate Fact-Finding Committee on Un-American Activities, in its opinion, raised some questions concerning the erroneous nature of statements which he used in his Cinema Educational League publications. It went on to say, quote, there are heavy evidences of anti-Semitism throughout many of the booklets and in many of the Fagan speeches. I suppose one of the more notorious writings of which he is an author is that in which he describes a Russian undersecretary at the United Nations who is commander of the United Nations military forces. That is not so. But it produced, I should say, over the last several years in my office, at least 50,000 pieces of mail, each of which said to me, Senator, how can this be that a Soviet Union official in the United Nations is now about to take over the United Nations military forces? But when you couple that with the water moccasin charge that the United Nations is going to take over the military establishment of the United States, obviously you come out with their allegation that it's the Soviet Union that is going to do this takeover.
CBS reports will continue after this message.
That's it. That's the one. Good heart. My son. Cute little guy, too. Can't quite tell who he looks like. Seems like he's got his mother's eyes. And he's got his Uncle Charlie's disposition. A son. It's a lot to plan for, bringing up a boy. The man from Travelers was right. It's a good feeling to know that my family's all taken care of if anything should happen to me. Sleep tight, Shorty. I'm not going anywhere. But someday my Travelers insurance could make all the difference. You'd have your mother at home instead of out working. House with the mortgage paid for. Even money left for college. How about that? My son isn't even a week old and I'm putting him through college. Why not? The earlier you start, the less it costs to make sure your son will have money for college. Remember, your Travelers agent can provide all kinds of insurance. Health, car, homeowners, and business, as well as life insurance. Call your Travelers man soon. Let one man plan all your insurance under the Travelers umbrella.
This is KNXT Los Angeles.
CBS reports continues. One of the missing links in the water moccasin chain, as far as our cameras were concerned, was Theodore Jackman, cited by Myron Fagan as his informant. Mr. Jackman, on several occasions, declined our invitation to appear on this broadcast. We asked Senator Kuchel what he knew about him.
Actually, not very much, except that he comes from South Carolina and has made a number of speeches in my state of California and across the country on these general subjects. I do, however, have a reprint of an advertisement from the Southwest edition of the Wall Street Journal for Monday, August 19, a page ad signed by Mr. Jackman, in which he first speaks of the hidden secret agreements behind the recently approved nuclear test ban treaty, but down at the bottom of the page advertisement, he continues to agitate against Operation Water Moccasin. The fact of the matter is that this field is flooded with writers of that kind. One of them which comes immediately to mind is a man by the name of Kent Courtney, who is publisher in New Orleans of a newspaper called The Independent American.
Who run down some of these ideas that were being spread about Operation Water Moccasin. We did our usual job of investigation from the people we thought were authoritative. We have a Patriot Network that we trust and depend on, both to inform us as well as to check these stories. Some of the members of the Patriot Network include Billy James Hargis, and of course, General Walker, and Robert Welch of the John Birch Society. Therefore, the first thing we did was check with one of our friends, who is a member of the Patriotic Network down there in Savannah, Mrs. Larry Lynn. She's a member of our Conservative Society of America, of our National Board of Advisors.
At her Savannah headquarters, Mrs. Milton Lent, who once worked for the late Senator McCarthy, helps keep the network alerted.
I write a weekly bulletin in order to keep our members informed and considering the implications of this maneuver. I did write in my bulletin an article telling the members what was going on. Could I read you just the first time I wrote it?
Please do.
All right. This was in February 22nd. And now comes Operation Water Moccasin to Georgia. We have had Soviet planes overhead. Now we are to have guerrillas from 15 nations simulating a takeover of part of our state. Are we, like Pavlov's dogs, being conditioned for the real thing, a United Nations takeover? Well, then I wrote on this subject again on March 15th. The effectiveness of the Liberty Grapevine is most encouraging. However, we must be ever alert to spread only facts and the truth. Wild and unfounded rumors will hurt our cause.
Senator Kuchel could attest to the power of the Liberty Network.
Many of the letters which I have received objecting to Operation Water Moccasin include all sorts of pamphlets and printed material coming from all parts of the nation. You might actually say there was a nationwide grapevine involved in this. Here's the American Flag Committee newsletter from Philadelphia, World Army Occupation of the United States. Here's something that's called the Task Force, official publication of the Defenders of the American Constitution, Incorporated, Ormond Beach, Florida. The president is a retired lieutenant general from the United States Marine Corps, General P.A. Del Valle, who had a distinguished war record serving his country. Now, with respect to Operation Water Moccasin, here is what his tract says, quote, "The urgency of this message is obvious. This appears to be the beginning of a crash program to disarm the United States of America and make us a province of the United Nations. May God in his mercy help us to prevent such a catastrophe." Here's one calling itself the Texas Voters for Enforcing the Constitution from Houston, Texas. Quote, 150,000 Red Chinese troops were reported in Mexico and more pouring in nightly over the beaches, unquote. The Richmond News Leader, a newspaper in Richmond, Virginia, questioned Operation Water Moccasin and had an editorial entitled "The Water Moccasin Bites." It's been over the air. It's come out on radio. Let me read part of a letter from a constituent of mine in Sacramento, California. Quote, "This morning on radio, over Mr. Burpo's program, I heard the most fantastic thing I ever heard. Water moccasin. What is this secret, fantastic thing doing in the Deep South? United Nations troops coming to America for some kind of a war to invade America. Mr. Senator, these things are being said over the radio. And he would not say them if they were not true."
Who is this commentator, Burpo, whose words must be true because he said it on the radio? And where did he get the material for his broadcast? In Mesa, Arizona, where he has his home and studio, C.W. Burpo, the radio voice of the Patriotic Grapevine, tells of his midnight inspiration on Water Moccasin and how it came to pass.
I had gone to the post office about midnight and had a sack of tapes that I mailed out to my network of stations I picked up a letter from Congressman James B. Otten, who gave me the release on this situation, so I went home. I walked into my studio and I flipped on these switches and got all of this ready to roll and reached over and pushed the remote. Put on my earphones, turned on the opening.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
I found the answer, I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found my way.
Dr. Burpo found his way by turning out a battery of audio tapes, which he mails to 18 radio stations, most of which carry his half-hour message every day. His broadcasts reach 40 states and parts of Canada and Mexico. The money Dr. Burpo spends to buy time on his network of stations, he solicits from his listeners.
Dr. C.W. Burpo, millions of people in three nations eagerly await the words of this man who not only brings you God's love, but also a fearless message geared to the needs of this perilous day.
Thank you, and hello, Mr. and Mrs. North America. This is C.W. Burpo with a special message on my heart. A little while ago, I came from my post office box after having opened a letter from Congressman James B. Ott from California. When I opened this letter, I could think of three words, fantastic but true. I refer to Operation Water Moccasin III at Congressman Ott. Call my attention to. This message referred to foreign troops coming over here and rehearsing mock battles involving our people. As I read this special release from Congressman Ott from California, I was exercised by the same. We don't know whether African troops will be involved over here or not, but we do know that there's a large contingent of barefooted Africans that have been moved into Cuba for training in guerrilla warfare. I would like to quote a few lines from a 13-year-old Ana Maria Delgado who escaped from Cuba. This Ana Maria Delgado said that she went to a church school in Cuba, said they closed it about a year ago. And ladies and gentlemen, she said the Russians and all sorts of foreigners moved in. Then about 3 weeks ago came the Africans. They're all over the place, men and women too. They put them in my school. It looked like a whole tribe. I was terrified of them. They're savages, and I heard one of them beat one of their women. They're always barefooted, and they wear short skirts that come just above their knees. They have big rings in their ears and noses. They talk funny, and nobody understands what they're saying. Well, I thought of this, and I asked myself the question, and I'm asking you the same. Could this have some omen? Could it be a forerunner? We have to face this one thing, my friends, and that is this, that our country is threatened and that Operation Water Moccasin could mean something ominous to our country. I'd like to hear from you, see what you have to say about this, and thank you very much. My local announcer is standing by to tell you exactly when we'll be back again, and goodbye, and God bless you and all of North America.
In pursuit of water moccasin, our search crisscrossed the country several times. But even as it began in Washington, so did it end there. If it is impossible to isolate or document the very first growth of the rumor, it can certainly be established that Congressman Ott's warning, mailed in his newsletter from Washington with a Capitol dome and his picture on the letterhead, was the most quoted. It circulated along the Liberty Grapevine and, among other places, was reprinted in the bulletin of the Network of Patriotic Letter Writers, Pasadena, the Santa Ana Register, Motivate, Butler, Wisconsin, On Target, Norburn, Missouri, the Independent American, New Orleans, Billy James Hargis Weekly Crusader, Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Bible Institute News, Oklahoma City, the Americans United Council, Long Beach, California. It also appeared in the Congressional Record. And as the dissemination of his warning was making the circuit, because of his standing as a member of the House of Representatives of the United States, it lent the most credence to the story.
I first heard about Operation Water Moccasin on a letter from Congressman Ott.
Congressman Jimmy Ott, a conservative from Southern California. had interested himself in it.
Congressman James B. Utt has written us. He wrote on March 12th.
Congressman Jim Utt of California.
Not everybody appreciated Congressman Utt's efforts. Editor Eden was dismayed.
Congressman James Utt from California got out a newsletter that I think really put the strange side to this whole thing. He had this to say in a letter to his constituents, and it got some pretty wide distribution. We began to get copies of it soon after the thing was scheduled to begin. Just listen now. Now hear this, and listen well. By the time this Washington report reaches you, there will be underway one of the most fantastic and to me truly frightening military maneuvers ever to be held in the United States. It is called Exercise Water Moccasin 3 and is just as deadly. And he goes on over here to explain what he means by deadly, I guess. We do not know whether African troops will be involved or not, but we do know that there is a large contingent of barefooted Africans that have been moved into Cuba for training in guerrilla warfare. Then he goes over here and says, who brought these Africans to Cuba? Was it the United Nations? Was it Russia? Or was it the United States? And are they being trained for the forthcoming invasion of peaceful Angola, which with the knowledge and consent of the UN has been subjected to murder, pillage, and rape from bases in the central Congo? Instead of bringing peace to the world, the UN has brought war, and it has brought disgrace upon the United States. He used the oldest dodge in the world, the idea of implication, to suggest that this was going on in South Georgia, right here in the midst of us, see?
Senator, after Congressman Utt sent out his newsletter, and it was widely reprinted along the grapevine, what happened to the mail that came into your office?
Well, it trebled. The second avalanche talked about Africans with rings in their noses participating in Operation Water Moccasin. And the letters usually ended up by saying that I was either stupid or guilty of treason. Operation Water Moccasin was undertaken by the United States Army as a training exercise for American military personnel to fight communism, if the situation required it, in the jungle, in guerrilla warfare. When a member of the United States Congress calls that kind of an undertaking fantastic and frightening, he gives a certain aura of respectability to those people in this country who have denounced the program. Indeed, in my judgment, he makes it easier for other people to believe the same fright-peddling hoaxes that have been uttered by people all across this country.
The congressman who called Water Moccasin fantastic and frightening was James B. Utt of California. We'll meet him right after this message.
First came the razor blade. Second came the back-and-forth electric shaver. Now the third way to shave, Norelco with rotary blades. Ordinary electrics go back and forth. They clip off whiskers. Norelco rotary blades go round and round. They stroke off whiskers. Norelco rotary blades whirl smoothly at 3,500 revolutions per minute to gently stroke off whiskers. They don't scrape or nick your face. They don't pinch or pull your beard. And look at Norelco's floating head swivel automatically to fit your face and reach every whisker comfortably. Would you like to stroke off your whiskers? You've seen the new Norelco speed shaver with floating heads. And here's the new Norelco flip-top speed shaver, the handy new Norelco cordless, and the Lady Norelco. All four Norelcos give you rotary blades that stroke off whiskers close and clean. Try Norelco, the third way to shave.
It happens right before your eyes. Now you can see to go in ice and snow with Prestone Spray De-Icer. Defrosts instantly, melts ice and snow. Always keep Prestone Spray De-Icer handy for safety, for visibility, and it's harmless to car finishes. Get the big red can, just pennies for each application. See to go in ice and snow with Prestone brand Spray De-Icer. Eveready Batteries, America's favorite batteries for toys, radios, and flashlights. Eveready Batteries with power to spare, now in a handy new six-pack, saves trips to the store. What's more, the Eveready six-pack has a money-saving coupon you can use to get this battery-driven model racing car kit. So get the Eveready six-pack and see the new Eveready Captain Lights, the modern classics in flashlights.
a product of Union Carbide. Now, here again is Roger Mudd.
Although that original newsletter of Congressman Utt called Water Moccasin fantastic and frightening, when we finally got to see him last week, he was surprisingly less alarmed than most of the people who received his warning. Congressman Utt.
Well, my first interest was aroused when I received some correspondence from people that lived in the area telling me about it, and then I was further interested when I found the amount of land that was being taken by the federal government for this operation. It was 1.5 million acres of land, which is a pretty good-sized piece of land, and it was also being taken without due process of law. And then I immediately recalled a similar operation in California about 12 years ago that involved Culver City and a few other cities in Southern California, where they had an operation of this type, and it was entirely then under the United Nations proclamation. At least it was assimilated as such, and I have here a copy of that proclamation, and it is entitled The United Nations Forces Military Government of Aggressive, and it's signed by Joan Smithman, commanding United Nations Forces Oceania, military governor of Aggressive. Well, Aggressive, of course, was the name of that operation down there. And in that, they arrested the mayor and the chief of police. They put on a curfew. They closed the libraries, and they closed several of the public buildings. And it was a real military takeover. And it created a lot of concern in California at that time. And I thought, well, now this is maybe a repetition of that. And I said in my newsletter that there was a great psychological impact going to be imposed upon the people in the area because radio stations were supposed to take part in it. Some of them urging the people in the area to help the invaders and others to help throw out the invaders. And I thought, again, that is not the right use to make of the American public. And in my Washington report, I said that I didn't know whether there were going to be any African troops or not because the Department of Defense had refused to furnish us the names of the countries that were participating in it until just a day or two before the actual operation. But there were troops there from Ghana. And, of course, there were troops from Indonesia. And Indonesia is a communist-controlled country. And I feel now, and I have always felt, that we should not be training the officers and military men of communist-dominated countries, either Indonesia or Yugoslavia, like we trained their pilots and some of their real high officers. And that was my main reason for being interested in that. And I also was afraid of some international incident might occur in case some irate farmer or somebody happened to shoot a foreign officer, that we would then have a mess on our hands. And you'll recall that did happen in the second operation called Swift Strike, when a farmer, after warning a soldier several times, finally shot him because he was stealing his apples. And I thought if that had happened in the first operation, that we would really have an apology to make and would bring down criticism on the American government for that operation.
Congressman Utt showed us this picture as an example of the Culver City takeover. It should be pointed out that this maneuver took place 12 years ago as part of a U.S. Army military government reservist training program. It was a mock takeover in which the mayor gladly cooperated and which he considered to be a useful operation. But our questions to Mr. Utt concerned the water moccasin rumor of 1963.
Mr. Utt, in your first newsletter about the operation, you said, and I quote, "It is one of the most fantastic and, to me, truly frightening maneuvers ever to be held in the United States." Why did you write those words?
Well, I think it was based on the first reports that came out from the Army engineers stating that there were going to be 3,000 people involved in it and that they would be from NATO and CENTO and CETO, and that I thought that was a pretty large military operation of foreign troops. And it wasn't until just before, after the newsletter had been written, that they said there would only be 125 foreign troops involved in it.
Did you think, Mr. Utt, before the water moccasin operation started, that there would be barefoot African troops involved?
No, I did not at all. That part of the letter referred to something in Cuba, and in my mind it was completely removed, and I didn't realize that people would tie the two together. I had no idea whatsoever that barefoot African troops would take part in this counterinsurgency operation.
Then why, Mr. Utt, did you connect barefooted Africans with the Operation Water Moccasin in your newsletter in the sentence that reads, "We do not know whether African troops will be involved or not, but we do know that there is a large contingent of barefooted Africans that have been moved into Cuba for training in guerrilla warfare"? Why did you put the two facts in the same sentence?
Well, I can't answer you that, except that I did know that those troops had been moved into Africa
I mean into Cuba, but I didn't know, have any idea that they were going to be used in this, and the sentence should have been separated, and the whole subject matter should have been separated, but I didn't.
Many of the people we have interviewed about the operation, Mr. Utz, say that they got their information from you, and these people, after hearing and reading about your newsletter, began circulating the rumor that thousands of barefoot Africans were in Georgia.
Well, of course, I'm sorry if they took that connotation and read it out of context, because I never made such a statement, and I was very much disturbed when I saw how it had been taken, and of course, that's nothing new. It's a very easy thing to do, and we had rumors, you know, of Chinese troops in Lower California. Well, I knew there were no Chinese troops in Lower California, but those rumors get started, and somebody gives it to another man, and it expands.
Do you believe, Mr. Utz, that there is a U.N. plot to take over part of the United States, or that a U.N. plot was in any way involved in Operation Water Moccasin?
No, I don't think that it was. I said I believe that there would be U.N. observers because it was supposedly a NATO operation, and I assumed that there would be U.N. observers or NATO observers there, but I don't think there's any U.N. plot to take over the United States as such. I think that the whole U.N. is a plot to take over the world, and that we will be a part of a world government under United Nations domination.
Mr. Utz, one senator has said that it was not until after you issued that first newsletter that people began talking about barefooted Africans taking part in the maneuver. And he has also said that you used your stature as a member of the House of Representatives to compound the rumor.
Well, I can see very well the roots of it were in the bottom of that newsletter. And again, I say that it should not have been put in the same newsletter because of different subjects.
If you had it to do over again, Mr. Utz, and the same military maneuver was about to take place, would you have issued your warning in any different way?
Well, I would not have, of course, included any extraneous matter. I would limit it right to the facts on the subject.
Congressman Utz now says he regrets the rumor had its roots in his newsletter. The fact remains that most people along the self-styled Liberty Grapevine still believe that water moccasin was part of a U.N. plot to take over the United States. And although the Army never cut the number of troops from its original 2,500 to 3,000 figure, the Grapevine campaign did succeed in reducing the civilian participation. Editor Fred Eden agrees the rumor helped curtail the maneuver and cites the price.
The day came for the thing to begin on Monday, March 4th. Something had happened, and they came to tell us that the thing had been severely curtailed, it cut back, that they had wouldn't be the civilian participation that they had originally anticipated. We couldn't understand it. We asked them, where did the problems arise? What was it? And they said that there had been considerable criticism voiced to some of our congressmen. There had been telephone calls and letters written to our congressmen, and they had definitely cut back on the things that they would be allowed to do as part of this operation. I guess maybe having spent over a year, about a year and a half overseas during World War II, and flying in several missions over Germany and then spending part of that time as a prisoner of war over there, I got some pretty corny ideas about patriotism. But I guess maybe this what prompted me to feel that I had to say what I felt about this thing. And if somebody had stopped the training that I was to receive, maybe I would never have made it back. That's what it looked to me like was happening to these boys who were trying to train to fight the wars for this nation, to be prepared to fight these brush fire wars that we're having nowadays. And if those boys couldn't receive the practical training they needed right here, maybe they wouldn't make it back either.
The lessons of the water moccasin hoax illustrate much more than the damage to one Army maneuver. It was in this vein that Senator Kuchel addressed himself in his now famous Senate speech.
Some of the people who have been engaged in these various groups saying that water moccasin is a sellout to the United Nations or to the Soviet Union are afraid. They are frustrated. They simply do not know what to do in this modern era in which we live. They would like to go back to some past age in our history where things were a little more simple than they are today. I think unquestionably that some people who are involved in this sort of fright peddling are motivated by the profit idea. the dollar, the fast buck. I think some others would like to be able to say I'm a better American than you are. And that's the reason that some of these secret societies have come into existence. There's a real danger in this country, a danger of venom and of hate, a danger of slander and abuse, a danger which would come from sowing the seeds of doubt among our people about the innate desire, the unyielding desire of the American people to maintain their own security and their own freedom. That hate and venom have been motivated in Operation Water Moccasin as an excellent example of what I'm talking about. The fact of the matter is, this kind of hoax does the work of communism far better than a handful of Khrushchev's paid agents could do it. This is the sort of thing that the American people need to understand. Let us debate issues. Let us stand up and honestly argue the pros and cons of the great disputes which confront the American people under every national administration. But let us not resort to the type of abuse, the type of slander that has motivated some individuals for different reasons from undermining the faith of the American people in their own cherished republic.
Senator, after you gave your speech on the Senate floor, did the grapevine wither in America?
No, I regret to say it did not. As a matter of fact, I do believe that Operation Water Moccasin, so far as the hoax is concerned, has now drawn to a close. But there are other hoaxes which are taking its place. Organized writing campaigns produce letters in my office telling me that the fluoridation the systems across the country constitute a communist plot. They tell me that there are Red Chinese soldiers stationed in Lower California ready to move across the border. They allege that the Mental Health Act is going to take certain right-wing people and imprison them in Alaska. And by the way, I recently received a letter which reads as follows. Dear Senator, last night at a meeting, I was told that the post office zip system is part of a United Nations plot to number people for the final takeover. End of quotation.
During the past hour, you have heard a great many people quote Congressman Utt. We would like to conclude this report on rumors by also quoting Congressman Utt. As he said just a few minutes ago, I would not, of course, include any extraneous matter. I would limit it right to the facts on the subject. This is Roger Mudd for CBS Reports. Good night.